Let us all say amen. I don't know about you, when I think about that song, it reminds me that one day he's going to call me from labor to the other side. And I don't know about you, I'm making preparations that when he calls me, I'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord." It's good to see you, each and every one of you this morning, those of you that are visiting. We hope and pray something can be said to encourage your heart. And then for those of us who are members of the body of Christ, just want to encourage us to stay on track in our Christian walk and don't allow Satan a chance to take advantage of us. For the past few months, we've been looking at the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. We've been looking at chapter 6. We've been looking at verse number 9, where the apostle Paul would write these words to encourage the believer and to remind the believer that in your Christian walk, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some trials and tribulations, but the believer never, ever gives up. Might give out from time to time, but he never, ever gives up. And the reason he never gives up, because of the strength that comes from who Jesus Christ is. Matter of fact, Paul says that he gives us this strength because he gives us power from his Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 6 and round about verse number 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Paul reminds the believer that God gives us power to help us to overcome many of the obstacles in our everyday life. What's the problem? Well, the problem is you got to put the power where it belongs. The power is in the Word of God. And when the Word of God is in our lives, guess what? Satan takes off. Amen. He can't stand you to study and read your Bible and apply it to your everyday life. So he has to leave and wait until he finds a weak spot. Amen. He did Jesus in the garden. He did Jesus when he was in the wilderness. He tries to catch each and every one of us at our lowest point. But that's the time that the child of God has to renew his strength. He has to renew his encouragement. And that comes from the Word of God. So the more we study, the more we meditate, the more we apply the Word of God in our everyday life, guess what? Satan leaves us alone because he cannot stand what is written. And so this morning, as we look at this text, where Paul says, "And let us not grow weary in well doing." Sometimes you get weary in helping other folks, don't you? Sometimes you get weary in just helping even within your own household. But Paul here is trying to show the believer, it's not about you. It's about the Christ that's in you. Could you imagine if Jesus got to the cross and said, "Well, I ain't going for him. No, they're not worthy, Father." But Jesus understood his Father's will. He understood that he was born to die. And so when he comes to earth, John chapter 6 and round about verse number 38, Jesus said, "I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who has sent me." John chapter 9 and verse number 4, Jesus said, "I must work the work of him who has sent me while it is day. For the night shall come when no man can work." And then I like the mindset and the attitude that Jesus really had. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28. "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That reminds me of what Paul said about the believer. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24. "A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." Paul says a servant of the Lord must be ready to serve. And then he reminds Timothy, "The things that you've seen and heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who would be able to teach others also." So in this lesson text here, when Paul says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And verse number 10 is where I really want to take a lesson from this morning, where Paul says, "As we therefore have an opportunity." And the title of our lesson is, "Every opportunity is an opportunity for good works." Every opportunity is an opportunity for good works. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, even in the midst of sickness, there's an opportunity for you and I to proclaim the gospel of Christ. But see, you have to understand the word of God and how to do that. And I'm learning that the more we study, the more we meditate upon the word, we will understand that every opportunity that comes our way, our job, our responsibility is to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And I'm learning, church, that's not difficult to do when you allow the word of God to be the motivating factor in your everyday life. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, only let your conversation be. I'm sorry, that's not it. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Brain just went off on me. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Paul said, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or I'm absent from you, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one faith, striving for the gospel. Church, every opportunity that we face is an opportunity for you and I to tell somebody about the glorious news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm learning the more we take time and remind folks about the gospel, the more it helps us to stay on the right track. That's right. I'm learning the more that I can talk about Jesus Christ, the more it helps me to understand that in this world, I'm going to have some trials and tribulations, but I serve an awesome God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. So what should I worry about? What should I be concerned about? Absolutely nothing. But what am I worried about? Everything under God's green earth. You know why? Because we haven't renewed our spirit with the word of God. And it's in the word of God that you and I can help us to stay on the right track. Paul in this lesson text reminds the church to do good and to not grow weary in one's Christian walk. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 5, Peter would say these words to remind the believer that in the midst of everything that goes on, God still reigns supreme on this time side of life. Well, what's the problem, Paul? What's the problem, Peter? You and I have to learn to stay focused on what's truly, really important on this time side of life. Like I said this morning in Bible class, someone mentioned the big C word to us, and boy, we just lose it. Why shouldn't somebody mention to us, you have eternal life? And that ought to elevate us to a higher plateau, no matter what transpires with our physical body. Look at what Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. He says, likewise, you youngers, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, Satan wants to catch us at our weakest point. But when you and I stay steadfast and unmovable in our Christian walk, he takes off. You don't believe me? Look at the verse, next verse. He says, who resists steadfastness in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the grace of all God, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, make you mature, stable, strengthen, and he settles you. Church, I'm learning that the more we apply the word of God in our everyday life, Satan leaves us alone. Therefore, there's a peace that you and I develop. And the peace is past all understanding. See, the race that you and I are in is not a race for the world. We're in a race to obtain a crown that fadeth not away. So when we become weary, go to the word of God. When you become tired, pick up the book and apply the word of God. And when you're ready to give up, fall down on your knees and ask God to help you off your knees and help you get back on the right track. See, I'm learning that in order for us to run this Christian race, our eyes have to be focused on the cross. And I'm learning the more you focus on the cross, the less you see of me. Amen. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved Stan. That's right, I take it personal. You know why? Because he sent Jesus to die to take away my sins. And all he asked me to do is to love him with all of my heart, soul, and mind, and to love you. Is that difficult? No, it's not. Because see, when you really love God, you love the creation that God made. And I'm church and I'm learning the more we remind ourselves of the love that God had for all of mankind to stay focused, not really that difficult. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Paul would write these words to the church at Philippi. And look at his attitude. Paul says, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Paul says, I forget the things that are behind me. Yeah, they're there. But you know what? I don't beat myself with the past. How many of y'all beat yourself with what you didn't do yesterday? You don't have to raise your hand because I know some of us do. I'm learning that I don't beat myself with what I did not do yesterday. I repent and I try to make it better the next day. Paul here says, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What's before us? The grave. You didn't know that? Well, I just thought I'd stop by and tell you. The grave is coming. The worms are coming. The question is, when they come, where will you be? I don't know about you. You can have the body. Because I plan to be with my Lord and Savior. And see, and that's a mindset. That's an attitude that the believer has. And when we have that type of mindset, church, it helps us to be motivated and enthused on this time side of life, knowing that we're just here for a short period of time. And one day he's going to call each and every one of us. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after death comes the judgment. I don't know about you that when I close my eyes, I don't want to see nothing but my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's right. And so therefore, I must live my life the way he expects me to live it on this time side of life. And I've learned not to fool myself. Amen. I don't know about you. You know, I used to lie to myself. Don't look at me funny. You do too. Some, you might be still doing it, but I hope you're not. Used to lie to myself, but I've learned not to lie to myself. I've learned that when I fall short of the glory of God, forgive me, Father, help me to get on the right track. I'm not much, but guess what? You've making me what I am, and what I am is based upon what I read in your book. That's why when I went in a watery grave, you gave me the spirit to help me to do what is right. And you know, sometimes I don't want to do what's right. Don't look at the preacher funny. You don't either. Sometimes, you know, Sidebar, don't it feel good sometimes just to do nothing? Huh? Don't it feel, some of y'all know what I'm talking, it feel good to do nothing. But the child of God should never ever get in that point. I'm confessing, okay? Because he's called us for a purpose. And that purpose is to help someone else see him. And they're only going to see him through you and I. So he's called us for a purpose. And that purpose is to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. And if anything other minded, God shall even reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rules. And understand this, the rules that apply to the preacher applies to you too. That's right. If I'm supposed to seek and save the lost, guess what? That's your job too. If I'm supposed to stay unspotted from the world, that's your job too. And I'm learning that when we collectively do that, man, Satan takes off because he cannot stand the harmony of God's people and the fellowship that we have with one another. But Paul says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained. Paul says, you ought to act like you're already saved. Huh? Amen. Huh? How many of us act like we saved? How many of you saved? Hey, come on. Because if you don't think you're saved, maybe you're not. Because somewhere down the line, we ought to have confidence in who we say we are. Paul had confidence in who he said he was. He said, I was a chief among sinners. I persecuted the church and brought it to destruction. Well, I was ignorant and I didn't know Jesus. But when he knew Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 and following, he says, I don't want to hear about that other mess. I bear in my body Jesus Christ. That's some powerful stuff. Because, see, when you understand who you are, church, life takes on a whole new meaning. He says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rules. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which are all as an example for us. Paul wants us to remind us and encourage one another, stay on the right track. See, I'm learning in order for you not to grow weary, in order for you to reap the harvest that God has in store for you. You have to run this Christian race, and you have to run it with unwavering faith. And sometimes that's difficult because we live in a world that is so turned upside down that the world we live in don't have a clue which way it's headed. But that ought to never, ever affect you and I, because we know one day everybody is going to give an account. Everybody is going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And I believe that when you stand before him, you ought to be able to let your life testify. Amen. See, in order to run this Christian race, it requires an unwavering faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and round about verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So things which were seen were not made of things which do not appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet he speaks. Look at this attitude. Verse number 5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony, something that we don't deal with. He had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why be in this thing and don't expect to go to heaven? How many of y'all here don't know which way you're headed? Wrong place. I'm here because I know where I'm headed. I'm going to make heaven my home. And I'm guaranteed that if I walk in the light as he is in the light and keep myself unspotted from the world. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. And as you continue to read, you will find out that these individuals did it, not receiving the promise that you and I have. We have a promise of eternal salvation if we remain steadfast and unmovable in our Christian walk. As we run this Christian race, church, we have to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves that the body profits nothing. Everything is a spiritual operation done by God. And when we operate more from the Spirit of God, we learn how to love folks that are unlovable. That's right. We learn how to be at peace when other folks are all in disarray. The world does not bother me. It doesn't bother me because I know who controls the world. And if he controls the world, you think I'm worried about a White House or a Blue House? Not at all. Because the God I serve holds the world in the hollow of his hand. And if he calls me his child, church, you need to understand that you have the victory, and that victory is because of what you have obeyed. I want to show you something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Church, we ought to be the most excited people on the face of the earth. We ought to be the most motivated people on the face of the earth. You know why? Because nothing or no one can stop us. Not even death. Death has no say-so. When I die, it's just a transfer to another world that's got to be better than this one. I know it ain't gonna be no more lying, no more cheating, no more backbiting, no more racism, no more any of that. Amen. I'm gonna be around the throne of God, and if you don't like to sing here, you might not be there. Because the Bible said they're gonna be praising him and giving God the glory that's due him. And I want to show you, church, why we ought to be so excited in our Christian walk. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed in a moment, in the twink of the eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I don't know about you. I don't know what I'm going to look like, but the Bible says I'm going to look just like him. So I'm not going to look like him then. Can I look like him now? See, I don't have to wait to be die to be changed. It's that watery grave that changed me. It's my mindset. It's the Holy Spirit that he gives me to change me, to have the proper attitude. When folks misuse you and abuse you, the child of God ought to be able to say, "Father, forgive them. They have not a clue to what they're doing." The Bible goes on to say in verse number 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." That's why I get excited, that when I die, that ain't it. It ain't like Rover. I'm not dead all over. Matter of fact, I'm going to be in glory with the God. And that's what ought to drive us on this time side of life, to know that one day you're going to see his face. And the question is, will it be in peace or will it be depart? Not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Why be in this thing and don't make heaven your home? Why take chances on your soul? You know how we like to take chances. Oh, yeah, I'm a good one on taking chances. You know, let's see, it's 55 and I'm doing 65. And the only time I get back in line is when I, woo! Oh, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm trying not to take chances with my soul salvation. I'm trying to live my life the best way God requires me to live. That's why when you walk on me, keep walking. When you mistreat me, keep mistreating me. I'm going to love you. I'm going to give you what God requires, because I know in the final analysis, Romans chapter 12, round about verse number 13, "As much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Beloved, venge not yourself, but rather get out of the way. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Therefore, if thy enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him some drink." That you don't get that overnight. That's something that has to come from a diet of the Word of God. He says, therefore, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul goes on to say in verse number 55, "So death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor's not in vain in the Lord." I'm not doing this because I don't have nothing better to do. I'm doing this because I know one day he's going to call me. And when he calls me, I'm going to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." See, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. The only thing that matters to me is what he thinks. And I'm learning that you can be confident and sure of who you are when you bathe yourself with the Word of God. Peter and John, as they told them not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said they went away rejoicing that they suffered persecution for the name of Christ. Boy, what an attitude. Acts chapter 5 and round about verse number 29, they told them, "Don't preach no more in this name." apostle says, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's why I do what I do, because I'd rather obey God than to listen to anything else. Because in the final analysis, all you can do is take me to the hole. I need someone that can take me beyond that hole and give me a crown of life. Say, how about you this morning? How's the race going in your life? Are you running the race a little weary? If you live on this time side of life, you'll get a little weary, a little discouraged, feel a little faint. I just want to encourage you this morning to renew your energy. And the way you renew your energy is with the Word of God. Psalms division 119 and verse number 33. The psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep them unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart. What a mindset. What an attitude. Verse 97 in that same text says, O Lord, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditations all day. Through thy commandments, thou hast taught me to be wiser than my enemies. For thou art ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light to my path. That's why the child of God ought to be the most happiest, the most motivated person on the face of the earth. Because when you stay with the Word of God, Satan has to leave you alone until he finds you naked from the Word. I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning, keep your eyes on the cross. As you run this Christian race, remind yourself of what's truly important. But as you run this Christian race, there are some things you got to do in order to run it so you can receive the crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 25, Paul says, and every man that strive for mastery is not temperate, and he's temperate in all things. Paul says here, this thing here has to be right if you're going to make heaven your home. In order for you to run this Christian race, you got to get out of the way. I've had to learn that. You have to develop the mind of Christ. And when you develop his mindset, guess what? Life has a totally different meaning. I don't come to worship. I am the worship. Did you not know that? You and I, when we collectively come together, we worship God. We give God the glory that's due him. Paul would remind the believers here that when we run this Christian race, we have to temper ourselves. That means we got to let the word of Christ dwell in us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. That means that our speech ought to be seasoned from the word of God. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Our minds ought to be set on things above and not on things of the earth. And as we run this Christian race and as we temper ourselves with the Word of God, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, our mindset ought to be the mind that Jesus Christ had. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. As you walk this Christian walk, I want to encourage you and remind you, gird up the loins of your mind. Think sober. Allow God to do what he wants to do in you. And I guarantee you that when he calls you from labor to the other side, you'll hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 27, the Bible says, therefore so run. Not as uncertainty. You know what he's saying there? I'm in this not because I don't know what I'm doing. No, I'm in this because I know what I'm doing. I know one day he's going to close these eyeballs. I know that. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. And hopefully it'll be a long time from now. But whatever condition that I find myself in, I want to glorify God. And so Paul says here, I therefore so run. Not as uncertainty. So I fight, not as one that beateth the air. And then he goes, say, I keep in my body and bring it under subjection, that least when I preach to others, and that's what scares me. When I try to tell you what to do, when I try to be the example to you, and when I get mad at you, I myself might be disqualified. And so therefore, I try my best to give you what God wants you to have and try to be the example. And in conclusion, Paul in our lesson text reminds the believer, in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. In order for us to reap, in order for us not to fall short of the glory of God, we must constantly focus our mind on the cross. And when we focus our mind on the cross and align ourselves up with the cross, it'll help you stay on mission. It'll help you to understand your purpose. It'll help you to understand that it's in the cross of Jesus Christ that you and I have the right to eternal salvation. It'll help you to stay focused, and nothing or no one can stop you or hinder you but yourself. And so I've learned nobody can stop me from making heaven my home. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 as I close. Powerful passage of scripture that we all know all by heart. And what did Paul say? I can all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if I can do all things through Christ, what's my problem? Shouldn't have any, huh? What can stop us? Nobody but ourselves. And when you get out of the way, God can use you to His glory. You couldn't have told me 29 years ago I'd be standing before you preaching the gospel. No way in the world. Because I ran from a little old short man that always asked me to give an account of myself. Every Sunday I'd come to church. Give an account of yourself. What you've been studying? Well, who are you? I'm the guardian of your soul. And so I stopped running. Because are we not guardians of one another's soul? It's our responsibility to remind one another, to encourage one another, and to help one another see that I'm not going to make it unless I help you. And you're not going to make it unless we help one another. Those of you that are visiting this morning, hope and pray I've said something to encourage your heart this morning. We're in a battle, we're in a race. But the battle is already won. The question is how you're running the race. And I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you need the gospel, you've heard it this morning, Romans 10, 17. Do you believe what I said? John chapter 20, verse number 30. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Confess His name, Matthew 10, 32, 33. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. He gives you the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit guides and directs us in our everyday lives. And then He adds you to the church, which is His body, Colossians 1, 18, Ephesians 1, 22. And those of us who are members of the body of Christ, why be in this thing and don't make heaven your home? I don't know about you. That sounds kind of foolish to me. You know, I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to be in something, I'm going to give it all. Amen. And if I ain't going to give it all, guess what? I'm going to get out. And so I want to encourage us as this year is rapidly drawing to a close. It seemed like it was only yesterday that I said a brand new year God has blessed us to be. And here it is, 8 months later. And what are we doing for the Lord? And only you can answer that. And I mean that with all the love in my heart, that there are some folks that need us. If the world ain't gonna do what's right, we ought to be the light that the world really needs. And if you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.